This episode is brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. Find out more at canbyfoursquare.com or on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Prospective lawbreakers who think the stay home, save lives era would be the perfect time for a crime spree may want to rethink that plan. Uniform patrol by Canby police officers continues throughout the city 24/7, and that includes the arrests of several would-be thieves this week. The first bust was during the early morning hours of Monday, March 30th, when officers reportedly intercepted five suspects who were in the act of stealing valuables from unlocked cars. The arrests were made by two uniformed officers on duty, according to Canby Police Chief Brett Smith. The thieves had easy access to valuable items such as women's Gucci purse, bank card, personal identification, and even a handgun, Chief Smith said. As a result of the arrest of these subjects, all stolen property was recovered. Another bust was made early on April 1st as two Canby officers with the assistance of the Oregon City Police Department identified a stolen vehicle from the Portland area. The vehicle was recovered and two suspects were taken into custody. The coronavirus pandemic has affected virtually all aspects of our daily lives, and that includes the work of Canby's finest. Chief Smith says officers are being more judicious about responding to non-emergency calls in person and taking reports over the phone wherever possible. Officers are not wearing masks or other personal protective equipment, that's PPE as you probably know, during routine patrol or when making contact with people who are non-symptomatic. For calls that require medical assistance, Canby police will be deferring to the primary medical personnel on scene, which is typically Canby Fire, who are now required to don full PPE on all medical calls. On Twitter, the Washington County Sheriff's Office recently shared the story of a traffic stop where a man who had allegedly stolen some beer from a local store told the deputy who arrested him, "With this whole virus thing, I thought you guys weren't doing any policing." Unfortunately for him, crime is still illegal in Washington County, and the same applies for Canby, according to Chief Smith. While members of the police department are doing their best to remain healthy so we can provide a police presence and respond to emergency calls for service, by no means are our police officers disengaged, he said. While it is unfortunate that in times of crisis, such as this COVID-19 pandemic, people will take the opportunity for personal gain, I am proud of our members' commitment to serve our community. They are being proactive in keeping our community safe and their willingness to engage suspects who are committing crimes. The Canby Fire District has again requested that Columbia Distributing's application for a sizable 15-year tax abatement for its new facility in the Canby Industrial Park be tabled or even outright denied. The Canby Fire Board of Directors made the request in a letter that was sent to Mayor Brian Hodson for this week's Canby City Council meeting, where a decision was expected on Columbia's application for the Strategic Investment Zone. The board asked for the matter to be tabled or rejected on the basis that there are no legal opinions from the state or otherwise justifying the position that the project is eligible for the program that would offer it an estimated $5 million tax break over the next 15 years. Under normal circumstances, the project certainly would be eligible for tax abatement by virtue of its location in the county's rural strategic investment zone and the strong likelihood that its assessed value will be well over the $25 million threshold required by the program. Estimates from the company place it in the $65 million range. However, due to an apparent miscommunication between Columbia and Business Oregon, the company failed to file its application before beginning construction, which is a prerequisite to being considered. Initially, an incentive coordinator for Business Oregon stated that the error would disqualify them, but staff working with the county and the state soon hammered out a compromise that would allow the application to move forward. Though its letter does not address it specifically, the board seems skeptical of the compromise. The letter said the district legal counsel has contacted representatives of Business Oregon and the Attorney General's office, none of whom would state definitively that the project is still eligible, despite missing the statutorily required deadline. It also claimed a lack of, quote, substantive response on the matter from Canby City Attorney Joe Lindsay. Canby Fire has not been provided any information, but has been directed to pursue the untimely and perhaps costly process of a formal public records request, said the letter, signed by Board Chair Steve Thurman. The city attorney has also declined to provide any analysis, even verbally, supporting the eligibility of the project. Thurman asked the city to table the resolution pending a formal legal opinion from the state attorney general, which the fire district has requested, or to simply deny it in the absence of any written legal opinions that the project is still eligible for the program. Tabling the matter would present several problems, not the least of which is that a final decision on the application is due by July 1st. The final decision must be made by the Oregon Business Development Commission, which has only one scheduled meeting for it before that deadline, which is here on April 10th. If the project is ultimately approved, the fire district would take a hit, as would more than a dozen other local taxing entities. It's projected Canby Fire would lose out on an estimated $800,000 in revenue over the 15-year period. For the record, if approved, significant additional burdens will be placed on Canby Fire, which in turn will affect the quality and timeliness of medical and emergency responses to all the citizens in our district, the letter states. The Canby City Council met virtually to discuss the matter on Wednesday, April 1st. For updates, check out our website, canbynowpod.com. Oregon families, parents, and students must prepare for the, quote, strong possibility that schools will not reopen this academic year, according to Colt Gill, the director of the Oregon Department of Education. In a letter to the state's superintendents Monday night, Gill said, "As we continue the effective measures of Oregon Governor Kate Brown's Stay Home, Save Lives order, we also foresee the strong possibility that our students may not come back through our schoolhouse doors this academic year." Gill said this calls for a shift from providing voluntary supplementary educational supports to a formidable effort to provide, quote, distance learning for all, a robust distance learning platform involving teaching and learning. Okay, so what is distance learning for all? According to Canby Superintendent Trip Goodall, the model emphasizes student care, equity, community collaboration, and direct contacts between students and their teachers. Distance learning does not mean just online education, Goodall said, and schools will likely need to offer a blend of teaching modes, including methods such as paper assignments and phone calls. Since Governor Brown ordered schools closed March 12th, districts have offered free, optional resources for families to utilize during the school's closure. Now back from spring break, the state's guidance offers a more structured look at how schools should operate in April and perhaps through the end of the school year. The state's guidelines for families include recommended daily instructional times, 45 minutes for grades kindergarten through first, an hour for grades 2 through 3, 90 minutes for grades 4 through 5, and 3 hours for grades 6 through 12. That's 30 minutes per teacher. For high school students, schools are advised to keep credit earning options the same as they would in a physical school setting. The Oregon Department of Education has yet to release guidance on graduation requirements for seniors in the class of 2020, though Goodall says he expects this soon. State testing has already been canceled for the year. The state submitted a federal waiver that received approval on Friday. The state has set a launch date of April 13th for the new distance learning for all model. In the meantime, Oregon Department of Education said districts should continue to provide supplemental resources and focus on reconnecting with students. The Canby School District's leadership team is already working on how to develop and implement this plan, according to Superintendent Goodall. He said, "We ask for your patience as we work through plans on training staff, developing lesson guidance, and continuing our planned outreach to families this week. We are confident that in partnership with our educators and associations, that we can provide distance learning for students in an equitable manner." Local residents have not had much to smile about in the past few weeks. Schools are closed, perhaps through the rest of the year. Many are out of work, while the global economy again teeters on the brink of a recession. Heck, we really haven't had much to do at all besides talk to our houseplants and reminisce about what restaurants used to be like. Emergency responders, too, are facing all new challenges, as routine medical calls now require donning of personal protective equipment and sterilization protocols. But this week, Aurora Fire District, Woodburn Ambulance, the Marion County Sheriff's Office, and the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office decided to put all of that on the back burner just for a minute. The Porch Parade, they called it, and here's what it sounded like. In a Facebook post, Aurora Fire District explained, "We thought it was a bummer that you and your children can't visit us at the fire station, so we thought we would visit you by driving by and waving. Firefighters, along with some friends, will be driving by as many streets as possible, so come to the window or out on the porch and wave hello." Residents certainly did, with some children even turning out with colorful handmade signs reading, "Thank you." Even the Easter Bunny made an appearance, or so the legend goes. "I just thought it would be fun to bring a smile to our citizens," Aurora Fire Chief Joshua Williams told the Canby Now podcast. "I know there are a lot of people cooped up in homes and a lot of kids that may be bored. In this time of uncertainty, the one thing our people can count on is their local emergency responders." Chief Williams said the parade was received very well, with people on their porches, driveways, the backs of pickup trucks, and of course lined up in camp chairs. The Canby area loves a good parade, and not even the coronavirus can change that. "Oh, there was a tremendous amount of people yelling thank you and giving lots of thumbs up," Williams said. "There were children waving their homemade signs to us. It can't get any better than that." The chief admitted it was not only the public who got a boost from the brief bit of fun. "I'm not sure who had the better time," Chief Williams said. "The kids or the firefighters, EMTs, and the deputies." The coronavirus pandemic has dramatically rewritten virtually all aspects of our daily lives in the span of just a few weeks, and that includes our language. An acronym that was once the sole domain of medical professionals has now entered the general lexicon, PPE, or personal protective equipment. The inclusive term generally refers to gloves, gowns, face masks, especially N95 respirators, and face shields. PPE is vital to the overall response to the COVID-19 pandemic, enabling medical workers and first responders to protect themselves and continue to perform critical functions while also mitigating the spread of the coronavirus. And it is in short supply nationwide. The local relief effort, led by the Unified Command of the Cambie Fire District and the City of Cambie, Clackamas County Public Health, have been asking for donations of unneeded PPE to bolster their own short supplies in the days to come, and last week the Cambie School District joined the cause in a big way. "We're doing our part," the district said in a March 25th Facebook post. "Our district nursing staff has donated all of our surplus medical supplies to Clackamas County Public Health. While it's not much, we want to do what we can to support our first responders right now." The donation included 3,800 gloves and more than 200 masks and gowns. In a follow-up email with the Cambie Now podcast, Communication Coordinator Autumn Foster explained that each school in the district keeps a small stock of medical supplies on hand to protect staff and students from infection during certain caregiving procedures. They also had a cache of masks, gowns, and face protectors that were purchased prior to and during the H1N1 pandemic in 2009, Foster said. "Most school districts keep emergency supplies on hand," she explained. "Gloves and eye protection are used in various classes like science, animal sciences, horticulture, etc., to protect our students. The child care center at Cambie High School uses gloves for changing infants and children." The district supplies went to Clackamas County Emergency Operations Center, which maintains a warehouse local agencies can go to when they need supplies.
Police beat for the week of February 4th through the 10th. On February 4th at 9:37 a.m., a baggie containing suspected methamphetamine was found in a fast food restaurant and turned into the police. Because I generally do go to, McDonald's or Burgerville and get a burger with a side of meth. On February 5th at 2:43 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was impounded. At 6:54 p.m., officers responded to a person in crisis. At 9:13 p.m., a speeding and uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was impounded. Because that's what they do. Don't drive your cars if you're suspended and uninsured. Never mind. On February 6th at 1:09 a.m., report of fraud after an unknown person accessed a victim's financial accounts online. 7:50 p.m., an unlicensed driver who misrepresented and failed to present identification was arrested. At 9:30 p.m., stolen merchandise and methamphetamine were located in the uninsured vehicle of a suspected shoplifter. On February 7th at 5 p.m., report of a hit-and-run traffic crash. At 6:45, officers responded to a two-vehicle injury traffic crash. And at 11:30 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI. All related? Maybe. Probably not, though. But maybe. But probably not. February 8th at 3:02 a.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped and the driver was arrested for DUI. 2:57 p.m., store employees asked a customer who brought his dog into the store to leave. After refusing to leave, officers advised the man that he had been trespassed from the location and would be arrested if he returned. But would his dog be arrested? That's the question. 5:20 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI, controlled substance, and good old possession of methamphetamine. February 9th at 12:05 a.m., after stopping a vehicle for numerous traffic violations, the driver was arrested for violating his felony probation, distribution of controlled substance, and identity theft. Good old classic one. 5:18 p.m., following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, unlawful possession of a firearm, and giving false information to a police officer, also called lying. Just you know, 9:30, 13 p.m. following a report of an assault at a grocery store, a suspect was arrested. Finally, on February 10th at 4:37 p.m., there was a report of graffiti under a bridge, and at 6:29, a man was arrested for an outstanding Clackamas County Circuit Court warrant and possession of methamphetamine. Gotta end strong. Always gotta end on a high note. Don't shake your head at me. That was hilarious.
Hey, Tyler, I have to tell you about something.
All right.
This buddy of mine was telling me his internet bill went up right after the holidays. Can you believe it?
I'm sorry, what?
I know. Talk about a Grinch move, am I right?
Why would their bill go up at that time of year, Frankie?
Well, they said it was because of overage fees from going over their data cap. Probably because they had family home for the holidays with way more people than usual using their Wi-Fi. Think about it. You've got kids playing games online, parents streaming TV shows and movies, plus all of the devices everyone has that are connected to the Wi-Fi network. That's a lot of stuff using up data, and they were charged extra for it.
That's super weird. I didn't even know there were like actual things called data caps for internet providers. I use a ton of data every month right here in the studio. And I've never seen an extra fee.
Yeah, that's because we have DirectLink. With them, not only will we never be charged extra fees for using lots of data at any speed, but they also never slow down our internet speed for high usage. It's all part of their commitment to unlimited internet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, hey, it sounds like your friend should switch over to DirectLink.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey friends, it's me, James, again. As always, favorite part of the show, it's the Patreon shout-out. You know, we're in a very uncertain time right now with the coronavirus, and we're all looking for a little glimmer of good news and hope. And let me tell you, for us here at the Camping Out Podcast, there's no one who brightens up our lives more than our Patreon members. These are folks who, through their faithful monthly contributions, continue to allow us to do work that we really love. And this week, we'd like to give a special shout out to Sarah Rodriguez. Sarah, if you're listening from the bottom of all of our hearts here at the Camping Out Podcast, thank you for your support, helping us be able to deliver high-quality journalism to the Canby area. And if you would like to find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, like Sarah, of course, which is one of our supporters on Patreon, you can visit us at canbynowpod.com/plus. Again, Sarah, thank you so much for being a supporter of the Canby Now Podcast.
All right, joining us on the Camby Conversation today, we have Carmen Velasquez. She's the owner of Chapala Express. Hi, Carmen.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Have you been on a podcast before? Is this your first time?
And my first time.
You're pretty excited?
Yeah. And nervous too.
Yeah, she made a face that made it seem like she wasn't as excited as she claims. So tell us about Chapala Express.
Well, we, as Chapala, we get the name because... we live in Chapala. We original from Chapala.
Yeah.
Jalisco.
That's a state, a Mexican state?
It's a city.
A city, okay.
A city. It's from Jalisco state.
Okay. Yeah. Do they have like a certain foods or a certain type of culture that's kind of unique to them or?
Well, yes, we have the birria. It's original from there. From there.
The beer?
Birria.
Okay.
Birria. Is that it's
beer?
No, it's a dish. It's a dish. It's made with... beef.
Okay.
And dry peppers.
Okay.
Different, like three different kinds of dry peppers and some spices.
Okay.
And it's served with fresh tortillas.
Yeah.
Fresh made tortillas.
Sounds delicious. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mexican food, by the way. Especially the way that you guys do Mexican food because you have like really good quality stuff and like you meant like kind of authentic and like a different taste and then you just throw it on french fries, which is like how I like to eat Mexican food. So
yes, the meat, we get the Angus meat, which is just grass fed. That's why we like it because it's and it's really soft and it's really good quality, the Angus. And then all our products, they're fresh and we like to do it everything fresh. Everything fresh, we prepare every day. all the vegetables and everything, the rice. We make the rice every day and the beans.
Yeah.
So we try to keep it really, really fresh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can see that when you try it.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about you and your family, kind of how you got to Canby, how you got into the restaurant business. Is Chipotle your first or?
No.
Yeah.
We opened, well, first we came from Mexico, from Guadalajara. It's 32 years ago.
32 years ago. 32, wow.
Yes.
That's a little bit older than I am. So.
Yes.
Long time ago.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I was, usually I've been working all in the healthcare business.
That you were at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all most of the time. And then we moved to Longview.
Okay.
Longview, Washington.
Yeah.
And there were only few Mexican restaurants, so we decided to put a restaurant over there.
Okay.
It was called Carmelita's Restaurant.
Okay.
But then things happened. My brother has to leave, and my mom moved from there too because we were working just a family. My mom, my brothers, and me.
Yeah.
We all just family. And here is a lot of family too. It's like my husband works here. Aldo, he helped us a lot with everything, with all the stuff we have, all the electronic, because he's really good at electronics.
Yeah, so. Don't worry, we're gonna talk about Aldo. Okay. What's your husband's name?
Filogonio.
Okay.
Filogonio Velasquez.
Yeah.
Yes. So, for some reason, but it was really good. I mean, we have a lot of customers over there. People were lining up in the morning. We have a line outside outside the restaurant. Actually, it was really, really good.
This restaurant's had seen some lines here in Canby.
Yes.
Especially lunch hour.
Lunch hour,
yes. Canby High School.
Oh, yeah, the high schoolers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's full of that time.
Yeah. So you guys do a lot to kind of cater to that high school crowd.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Because that's got to be different than it was with your original restaurant in Longview.
Yes,
You guys are just a stone's throw from the high school here.
Yes, yes. And we over there, we don't used to do catering. But in here we do, we have a truck.
Yeah.
Food truck.
Yeah.
And we take the food truck, like weddings or birthdays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here in the school too, we have in the schools too, they ask us to go over there with the truck.
Oh yeah, like football games and stuff.
Some things like that. Yeah. They ask us and we go over there.
Yeah. You've done chamber events.
Yes. And we too, sometimes they ask just to take the food and we take the food and we set them up and they want something.
And what kind of stuff do you do for the high school kids? You have like lunch specials and things like that?
Yeah, we do have the lunch special, which is the burrito. It's with a drink. Yeah, $6.
So Aldo, he, like you mentioned, has done a lot as far as like he does a lot with social media. He's got the TV screens on the walls and stuff like that. Why does he do that, or where does that kind of come from as far as his business sense?
Yeah. Well, he does all that. He's really good in that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's a part owner. So me and him,
So. Yeah, and is it his idea to do the like weird stuff with the French fries and like all that stuff?
Yes, he's very creative. And it was his idea, the French fries and some of the dishes,
some of the things that catch the YouTuber's eyes.
Yeah.
So you guys have had some YouTube people come out here and record videos and stuff.
Yeah, we have like two or three times.
You have like different challenges where you have to try to eat like
nachos. They were a big bowl of nachos.
So is it the Sierra?
Yes, Sierra nachos.
Okay.
Yes, it's a really huge.
Three pounds of nachos.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of nachos. Nachos don't weigh very much.
No.
So,
it's a lot.
3 pounds is...
With the meat and all the stuff, but it is a lot.
So the challenge is to try to just one person eat the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think one guy, he did almost finish all of them. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Almost,
cool.
Yes.
And then he had to go to the hospital.
No. I think he did, but he ate a lot.
I'm just kidding. No, he didn't.
I know.
He just had to sit down for a little while.
Yes.
All.
Yes.
Cool. But that's a lot of that is like Aldo's kind of business and marketing sense.
Yes.
To come up with things that are interesting
for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And actually, it was his idea to open the restaurant because at first I did not want it.
Oh, really? You didn't want to do that again?
No.
Yeah.
No, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. But he was insistent. Here we are. And, and it's something I like it too. I like to cook.
Right.
And I like to, to make people happy with my food. So that's it. Yeah.
That's cool. So you get some enjoyment from it.
I enjoy it.
Can't be
it,
that much work. You just make your husband do everything while you sit and talk to me, right?
He's right now, yeah. No. Yes.
Is there a certain way, like, you know, I know for me, like, I like some spice, but some of the spiciness here is a little too much. Do you find that with, like, us gringos that
yes.
we can't handle quite the same kind of taste? You have to, like,
yes.
sort of tweak. And we have a Latino population here as well, but, you know,
yes.
How do you approach that as far as your recipes and the food thing, and does Aldo kind of help with that?
Yes, he did. Well, he did with the salsas. We have a salsa, it's hardly nothing pepper on it.
Yeah.
No, that's
if you,
not at all.
All this is just say, if you ever need a white person to test some stuff for you, I'll help you out.
Okay.
Taste
that
test.
That would be good. Yes, yeah. And most of the dishes, they're not spicy.
Uh-huh.
Because we make three salsas.
Yeah.
One is really, really hot.
Yeah.
The other one is medium. And the other one hardly has nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
No hot. It's just too flavored, but it's not hot. So that's why we hardly don't put in the dishes, we don't put spices. The only one is a little bit spice, but it's not much either. It's the bistec ranchero, the new one, one of the new ones.
Okay.
Yeah, that one is a little bit spice, but not
you
much.
You kind of make the base level not too spicy because you have all the sauce, and
yes.
then people can spice
yes,
it up
they
however
can
they
spice
want.
It, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've got the one that's the burnt,
really,
the burnt
really
twice.
Yes.
Is that what it's still called?
Yeah. No, it calls Make Me Cry.
Make Me Cry twice, that's
it's,
right.
Yes. It's Make Me Laugh, Make Me Sweat, and Make Me Cry.
Okay.
It's a three salsas.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I thought it was called You Cry Twice. Is
no.
that not what it is?
No.
No?
We haven't made that one.
Oh, okay.
He's working on it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yes.
But do you find that, like, the dishes and the way you make them, you know, kind of go across cultural boundaries? Like, it doesn't matter,
yes.
you know, it doesn't have to be something that they, you know, ate growing up or anything like that. You find that it's here in Canby, it's pretty across the board.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, we, yeah, people, well, we have a lot of compliments from people who comes, and I'm surprised sometimes because a lot of American people, they make me cry salsa, and it's
yeah.
really hot,
yeah.
and they like it. They say,
not
I like
American
it.
People.
No.
Not me.
And then some other people from California, and
yeah.
they come and they say, oh, we're happy to find you guys because you guys make it really, really authentic.
Good tacos down
authentic,
there.
Authentic, yeah.
In
they said,
LA.
And it's hard to find that around here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we get a lot of compliments, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Do you, Carmen, do you have trouble? Or not in trouble, but is it because you had an experience running a restaurant up in Longview in probably a very different time, whereas mm-hmm. now we have, like we mentioned, the technology, your menus are on TVs.
Yes.
Aldo does the order, you can order online, you know,
yes.
and you get, I know that's how I order from you guys a lot
uh-huh.
of online, and there's DoorDash and all this stuff that's happening now. What do you think of that? Is that like a really weird context for you, or was that a hard adjustment for you?
It was kind of a little bit hard because, like you say, I'm not used to all this technology, but it helps a lot, though. It helps. Like in the kitchen, we have a screen, too, and we can see all the orders in there and how they want it and everything, and it helps a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So you've come to accept it and enjoy it.
Yes. Yes, I like it. It helps a lot.
Cool. So you have some new stuff you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, we have the bistec ranchero.
Okay, tell me about that.
It's beef,
okay.
the Angus beef that we have. And we kind of cut it in strips, and then we put onions, bell peppers, tomato,
okay.
and a special sauce.
Yeah.
and with rice and beans.
Okay.
Which is really, really good.
And what's it called?
Bistec Ranchero.
Bistec Rancheros.
Yes. We eat that one in Mexico too. And in California, they sell a lot. I was living for a while in California.
Uh-huh.
And almost all the restaurants have that dish. And then here, I hardly haven't seen much. Probably few restaurants have that one.
Yeah.
Not much, yeah. So I was thinking, oh, that would be good.
Cool.
Add into the menu. And we have two, the chile rellenos.
Uh-huh.
The chile rellenos with a special sauce. It's really good. It's made with a cream cheese sauce too.
And that's like a stuffed pepper?
Yes, it's a stuffed peppers, and we stuff it with real queso fresco.
Okay.
Queso fresco.
And where do the French fries come in?
Oh, the French fries are with...
You don't stuff those in the peppers too?
No, okay. We don't. No, those ones are separately. It's the sada French fries.
Yeah.
And those ones are the French fries, and put the nacho cheese.
Yeah.
And the meat, and then we put pico de gallo, right. And guacamole and sour cream.
Yeah. Yes. Carmen, when you are like, you make your recipes authentic, and you have this, like, you love to cook, like you've mentioned, you've been cooking your whole life, and Aldo says, we're going to do this weird thing, we're going to use French fries. Is that like, this is like sacrilege, or like, does that freak you out, or like, you just think it's fun to try new stuff?
No, it is fun.
Yeah.
I love to try new stuff. Even American food in the house, we cook American food.
Okay, cool.
And plus, where I work too.
Yeah.
A lot of times they ask me to cook. Sometimes Mexican, sometimes I cook American food. But I do. Like I said,
you like mixing as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, I try different spices and I try to do my best.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Do you have anything else that weighs more than 3 pounds, single dish?
No.
You're not going to do that?
Not going to do that again. No. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
And also we have the mole too, the chicken mole.
Okay, so that what one. Is mole? I've never tried that actually.
Oh, that is really good. It's a little bit sweet. It's not hot.
Okay.
It's a little bit sweet,
it's
not
like,
much.
Is it chocolate or like related to chocolate in some way?
It has chocolate on
it.
Okay. It has chocolate.
See, that's weird to me.
And it has nuts, like has almonds. It has.
See, you're just describing an ice cream sundae right now. This is not a taco.
No, but you will be surprised how good they taste.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe I'll dip some fries in it.
Yeah. There we go. Yes, it's really good.
So that's something that's new, your mole sauce?
No, that one has been for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. That one has been for a while.
Awesome.
And also we make the mole burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the mole.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else new coming up or anything that's coming on the horizon this year for Chapala? Any big changes or anything?
Well, the only other things we thinking and do the deep fried tacos, tacos.
Deep fried tacos.
Taquitos. Yes, those ones. We thinking and make those two, but not right now, but a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, Carmen, thank you so much. Love your guys' food.
You're
Keep doing
welcome.
What you're doing. Thanks for making it available online, so I don't have to talk to people. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but it's pretty good because that way when you come, they already make
it. They already make it. And the thing is, what are we doing?
No, geez.
We got a phone call.
No, I'm just chipping on the phone.
Oh, okay. I feel weird because I speak no Spanish. I wish I spoke more Spanish, but I feel weird calling orders in sometimes because I feel like an idiot, like I'm going to mispronounce something or sound really stupid, so I can just do it online and I don't have to worry about that.
No, because, I mean, my English is not good either.
Well, it's much better than my Spanish, I promise you. So, we didn't mention the Taco Tuesdays.
Oh, yes. We have a Taco Tuesday, which is a dollar taco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
$1 taco.
$1 taco.
Yeah.
And it's that day is really,
crazy
really
day for
crazy.
You guys.
Crazy,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, tell me what Taco
which
Tuesdays are like. Like, if, just... Number of orders, I mean, do people pack in here? What does Taco Tuesday look like?
Yeah, people, sometimes people order like 30, 40 tacos, even 50 tacos.
50 tacos?
Yes,
what?
Yes, that day, yeah. We have...
That's just the one guy who did the nachos the one time.
Probably. Yeah, we have sold like...
Families or like...
Yeah, probably.
Like events or something?
Probably big families or something like that because that day
I love you guys' food, but I'm not even going to try to eat 50 tacos.
50 tacos,
in one setting.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, some I see people eating 12 tacos. One person.
Yeah, 12 tacos.
Yeah, that day we have we have
that so that's, like that's a younger man's game. That's
almost like more than 1,500 tacos for Tuesdays. We make
1,500 tacos. Yes, that's the average, or that's the most?
That's the average, because
that's the average.
Yes, the most we have make like I think 1,800. 1,800. But the average is 1,500.
That's like 1,500 of the whole population of the city of Canby. That's crazy. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's insane. Okay. So that's a busy day. How many tacos, like how many tacos do you make a second? Like how long does it,
I don't know. We haven't counted the time, but it's really fast. We have to go really fast.
Yeah, I bet. How many cooks and stuff are on?
Usually we have like six. Five to six. Sometimes we have seven people.
Okay, just cooking
for the front and answer the phone and answer the tablet.
Yeah.
And then one in the front and then the rest cooking. Cooking and making tacos.
So what goes into making a taco, like for Taco Tuesday? What's the whole process look like? Because I'm trying to just envision making 1,800 in one night.
So we grill the meat.
Okay.
Grill the meat and chop it.
You have different meat options.
Yes. Yeah. We have carnitas. We have al pastor.
Yeah. That's pork.
Pork.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Pork with
pineapple.
Yeah, we put some juice.
Yeah.
And then in the steak, the Angus steak and the chicken.
Okay.
So we have those four.
Cool.
Those four.
Yeah, so you grill the meat.
I grill the meat, we chop a really big portion because we know that day we sell a lot. So
this is stuff you pre-make. You prep.
That day.
Yeah.
We do that day.
Yeah,
yes.
You prep it.
We have to do like two times.
Yeah.
We do one time. And then we do another one times. We see it's running out. We make some more and chicken too.
Yeah.
And the carnitas and the al pastor.
Cool. Can we do this? Can I order some tacos and can I make it with you? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's do
that. We're gonna take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. When we return, we'll bring you the second part of our conversation with Larry Benson, the descendant and spitting image of Buffalo Bill Cody.
I'm here at Advantage Mortgage with Derek Hill. And Derek, you were telling me about something that just came down from Fannie Mae that people might be interested in.
Yeah, Fannie Mae just came out with a report that said that the average homeowner in the United States has approximately 70% equity in their home.
Oh, now, wow.
Right. I mean, that's obviously average throughout the whole country, but because values have come up so substantially in the last 10 years, there is a ton of equity available that people can utilize.
Cool. So if people are potentially like looking to buy or move into a new home, you're saying that equity means it might be something that you would look at remodeling instead of if the market's not looking favorable to you.
Right, 100%. Because the market in Portland is so tough to buy, you know, we have an average of like 2.5 months worth of inventory. So it's just super hard for people to find what they're looking for. It may be just easier for them to take out some equity and do the upgrades or do an addition or pay off some debt or lots of different things. And that's one of the things that we love to do with people is sit down with them and kind of go over a game plan, you know, that's one of the biggest things is knowing what you can do, and we love taking the time to do that for people.
Awesome. And people can find you on your website or just give you a call?
They can go to findtheadvantage.com or call 266-5800, obviously 503 area code. And we love to chit-chat, and we have, you know, 8 or 9 different loan officers here in the Canby office that would love to sit down with somebody and work with them.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
So just remember, Derek Hill, NMLS number 50183, Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 177059, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Oh, the one is antibacterial?
Yeah.
That way we don't get
the coronavirus. Yeah.
Okay,
so
then turn that. this on.
Okay. We're just back here in the grill. Yeah. Got a bunch of big pots that smell really delicious. Is this pastor?
Ah, yes. That's al pastor. Yeah.
Pastor. You got to describe. Nobody can see you, Carmen.
Okay,
here,
that's true. Okay. We just put a little bit of oil.
Okay.
And the oil we use is canola oil.
Oh, okay.
Because one time and with the doctor, he told me it was the best oil.
A doctor told you that?
Yes.
Yeah, the healthiest.
Yes, he says the healthy.
Okay.
And we want to make everything the healthy we can.
Sure. No, yeah. I mean, you guys are a place that sells 3 pounds of nachos, but I can definitely tell health is important, right?
Yeah. How many tacos?
Oh,
3 or 4.
You're just making these for me?
Yeah.
Four? Okay,
four.
We're doing four.
Okay,
cool. Yeah.
Okay. Just wait till that.
I thought we were just going to make one. So
oh.
You assume I'm really
you want to try something else?
Yeah, no, this is great.
Okay.
More tacos, the better.
Okay,
so you got some beans.
Cooking some beans over here, too.
Okay.
Because and then the rice, we cooking some rice, too.
Uh-huh.
So. And rice too, we use the jasmine rice, which is best rice. It smells good and it tastes better than the other ones.
That's normally like Mexican, right? Like jasmine rice is Indian food?
I think they sell a lot in the Oriental.
Oh, Oriental?
Oriental,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, they do. But it's the best rice. For the taste and everything is the best. So,
what do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's very clean and neat back here, Carmen.
We try to keep everything as clean as we can.
Yeah. So you grill up the tortillas, uh-huh. And then you stack them.
Stack them.
Yeah. Why is that? Why is it always two?
Because, well, it's how we do these little tortillas, because they're so little.
Yeah.
So.
Just double up.
Yes. And it's, I don't know, but it's how we always eat it in Mexico, too.
The tacos.
Put them in here and then we make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it up.
Okay.
To the nines. Double tacos, that's just like your guys' version of the double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That's
rice.
Kind of interesting sound.
Yes.
And you cook it this way, not boiled, right? Do you boil the rice?
Yes, we do.
You boil it first.
But first we fry it really good. It has to be brown.
Okay.
That way when you cook it with the sauce,
yeah,
it's really nice.
So you put just dry rice in this big, this huge pan?
With the canola oil.
Mm.
We fry it with the canola oil.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes. Make you tacos, the rice. We're almost running out the rice.
This is the finished rice over here.
Yes.
Like your special bean recipe?
Beans,
garden.
Yes.
Yeah?
And they're fresh too. We cook them over here. And
uh-huh. How long did it take you to make these beans?
These beans?
Yeah.
They take like hour and a half to cook it.
Okay.
Yeah, like hour and a half. And then we fry it. What kind of meat do you like?
Let's do, can we do al pastor?
Al pastor?
Yeah.
Okay.
It smells amazing.
Yes. Some of my favorites when I go to Mexico,
uh-huh.
I always get the al pastor.
Yeah.
Al pastor in the cabeza too. Oh,
yeah.
I love those two tacos over there in Mexico. Actually, the al pastor, they're original from Mexico City.
Yeah.
Mexico City, yeah.
Are there places in Mexico where they sell American food? Like?
Yes, they do.
That's not fast food? Or is it just fast food?
They have restaurants too, especially the town where we come from, Chapala.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chapala, half of our population is American.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there's a lot of people, and then a lot of people who retires.
Yeah.
They go over there and live over there. They have a beautiful houses.
And like burger places and stuff like that, or?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They have hamburger places and food too. Like I said, they have some meatloaf and things that we make over here. They make it over there too.
That's cool. This looks really
good. Do you like
good.
Onion on your
sure.
tacos?
Yeah, let's do it up. Is this like how you would make it for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do it like you would.
Okay. Oh, cheese.
Want it real authentic. Cheese. Yeah, a little bit of cheese. Okay.
Take
care of it? Yeah. Wait, I want to get a picture.
Oh.
Come back here. Let's do the kitchen. There we go. That's beautiful.
Okay.
That was like embarrassing how fast that was.
It is
that would have taken
fast.
Me like all day.
Oh, it is very fast, yeah.
It looks so good.
And especially on Tuesdays, we have to be really fast.
Yeah, yeah. So what you just did, but 1,800 times.
yes. So we have one person just doing the tortillas. The tortillas.
Yeah.
And then we have like two people or three people doing the tacos.
Okay, so you have one person just tortillas, just
flipping tortillas
for like 6 hours straight.
Yeah.
And then one person scooping meat and one person,
bring it in or whatever the order.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it fun? Is it fun to be that busy or is
it
just stressful?
No, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I think all the people that want to work over here, they're pretty nice people. So
yeah.
I kind of enjoy to come and work with them too.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. This looks amazing. I can't wait to eat it. I'm going to stop recording so I can just enjoy it. Anything else you want to say?
Thanks, Candy, for welcome us really, really good. I mean, to all the people that want to come to Chapala Express.
I mean, we're pretty welcoming to anyone that can make food this good, so.
We are thankful, too.
Can Be Then is brought to you by The Book Nook, Canby's amazing local bookstore and gift shop, your source for new and used books, comic books, audiobooks, vintage books, well, you get the idea. It's all things books across from the Backstop in downtown Canby. And as a personal note, go follow them on Instagram, and you can even put in your book orders via Instagram. I tried to DM a while back. They got back to me right away. Excellent customer service from our good friends there at the Book Nook. And of course, please support our unique and locally owned businesses as much as you can during this difficult time. Well, thanks for joining us again on the Can Be Then section of the podcast as we're continuing our look back on some of the colorful stories from the history of the Canby Fire District. In 1913, the Stefani Lumber Mill burned, which was an uninsured loss estimated at $10,000, which is more than a quarter million in today's funds. Fortunately, the fire occurred when the mill was closed and no one was hurt in the blaze. By the time it had been discovered, it was already too late,
but employees nevertheless organized a bucket brigade and succeeded in saving a large quantity of lumber piled near the mill. Since the mill had been closed and empty hours before the fire broke out, arson was suspected, but no evidence can be found implicating anyone, according to newspapers at the time. Before the ruins were cold, Ardanius Stefani, the proprietor, had made plans for the immediate reconstruction of the mill, a force of carpenters being now on the ground. He said he would have an entirely new mill in operation in less than 3 weeks. To be fair, he did have the lumber. Then, around Halloween of 1957, Canby High School teacher and wrestling coach Jack Hollister heard some strange sounds coming from his front porch, but it wasn't trick-or-treaters. It was a burlap bag, soaked in oil and burning quite merrily. Fortunately, the bag was empty, and Hollister was able to extinguish the blaze himself without assistance from the fire district. The incident was an escalation in a continuing series of pranks and troublemaking between Canby and Malala youths, which had been raging in the run-up to the annual football game between the two rival schools. Sadly, newspapers record that Canby was the instigator in the feud, as the first incident reported was the burning of a giant C on the lawn of Malala High School. Someone also had painted the word Canby on the sidewalk. The Malalans retaliated by burning an M in front of Canby High, then taking a, quote, noise-making tour around the city, most of it under the watchful eyes of on-duty police officers. One of the cars was pulled over after reports came in that the boys were shooting guns. However, a search of the vehicle by Officer Wayne Watson revealed no firearms, only 5 lengths of rubber hose into which a 410-gauge shotgun shell had been forced. Yeah, I don't understand it either. The final injustice was the painting of the word Malala across the entrances of the high schools in Oregon City and West Lynn. After questioning dozens of high school boys from Canby and Malala, local police developed 2 theories as to the perpetrators of this dastardly deed. One was that the Malala high school boys had done it, a reporter later wrote. The other was that the Canby youths were the painters, inspired by a desire to give a black eye to their neighborly rivals. Police apparently became suspicious when they caught the perpetrators and they said, "Oh yeah, we're from Malala," which is so dumb. In 1965, the Canby Herald lamented the loss of, quote, one of the remaining country stores in the Canby area as the 91 store burned to the ground. The structure, located on Monitor Road south of Barlow and east of Hubbard, had been a landmark in the 91 community for over 30 years. The fire destroyed not only the livelihood of owner Henry Kober and his family, but also their home. They had bought the store in the previous August and were living above it. Longtime residents recalled the building was built by a man named Hampton, the newspaper reported, enlarged and improved by the Grahams, and later operated by the Alonzo Foltz family and Harold Haley's. Nicknamed the Old Castle, the Canby Grade School building was built in 1911. In 1974, its top 2 floors caught fire. Superintendent Paul Ackerman attempted to put out the fire with an extinguisher, but soon realized he needed backup. He called the Canby Fire District, who in turn asked for help from Oregon City, Clackamas County, and Malala. They fought the blaze for hours, but were unable to save the historic structure. A February 18, 1974 Canby Herald photo from the incident carries the memorable and poignant caption, "The Old Castle in Agony." In 1979, one of the largest chicken barns in the Northwest, 500 feet long by 60 feet wide, was destroyed in a blaze that broke out at Willamette Poultry Company on South Molino Road. The fire caused over $225,000 of damage and killed some 45,000 week-old chicks. The manager, Ed Hintz, said he noticed the fire when an alarm went off shortly before 5 p.m. and he saw smoke coming out from one of the doors. He and his son called the fire department, but by the time they arrived, the structure was fully engulfed. The flame was blamed on an electrical surge that blew a conduit at the center of a massive barn, though what caused the surge was a mystery. Firefighters from Canby, Malala, and Beaver Creek fought to control the blaze and protect the barns until well after 10 p.m. "Oh, they did a wonderful job, that department. They're highly recommended," Hintz said, giving each firefighter his thanks and a free bucket of fried chicken
extra crispy. That's not true. That's a bad joke by Tyler. Happy April Fool's Day. All the best to each of you. And we have many more colorful and thrilling stories to share with you from the history of Canby Fire District. But you'll have to wait till next time on Canby Then.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling?
Or
that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.